Good afternoon. So I want to say right off the bat that this study would never have happened without a smooth collaboration of our department with the Department of Environmental Conservation, Department of Natural Resources, and Public Health Nursing. Everybody worked really well together. So some very basic background on arsenic. So arsenic is a naturally occurring element which is widespread in the Earth's crust. For simplicity's sake, we're going to say that it exists in two different forms, organic and inorganic. Organic being the least toxic, and it's found in plant and animals, especially seafood. And the inorganic form is found in the soil, and in groundwater. So it's well known that some areas of Alaska have an arsenic-rich soil, and therefore the groundwater is also enriched in arsenic. This is the case for the Kenai Peninsula, circled in red here, and the Fairbanks area. So I'm going to focus on the health effect of low-dose exposure to arsenic. It's the most common. So low-dose exposure can result in nausea and vomiting, decrease of the production of red and white blood cells, heart problems, sensation of pins and needles in extremities, and cancer, increased risk of cancer of the liver, bladder, lung, and skin. Inhalation or ingestion of small doses of arsenic can also result in skin effects, like darkening of the skin and formation of wart-like corn on the palm of hands and sole of feet. So this all started when earlier this year in January, a case of very high urine arsenic was reported to us. And it was someone from the Fairbanks area. So we asked them to check their well water for arsenic. And the arsenic concentration in their well appeared to be 96 times higher than the recommended level of 10 ppbs. So, of course, that kind of caught our attention. And we wonder if some people of that area might have been exposed or might be exposed to arsenic without knowing it. So we decided to do, it's more of a pilot study, and the primary goal of the study was really to raise awareness in that area about arsenic in the, or the potential presence of arsenic in the well water, arsenic health effect, how to prevent exposure, basically bring information to that community. And finally, we also wanted to qualitatively investigate the extent of arsenic exposure in the, in this community. So we went there, and on the first day, we organized a community meeting in collaboration with some other departments. And we just went there to inform the public about arsenic and explain to them why we were there and what we were going to do. So on day two, we started knocking on doors. So we took a convenient sample of 21 homes. And we collected 21 water samples, tap water. And for four of these homes, we also collected filtered water. Four of these homes had a reverse osmosis filter. And among these 21 households, we collected 40 urine samples. The public health lab analyzed the samples for us, and upon receiving the results, we followed up with the people. We called people who had problematic results, and we mailed results and recommendations to other people. So this cartoon we present is a summary of the four households we found that had problematic arsenic levels in water and some also in urine. So I'm going to take each case and tell you how we followed up with them. So in that first case, the house had a level, arsenic level, which was about 20 times higher than the recommended level. But the people did not drink the water. They showered the water and used the water for other uses. But as you can tell, they were not exposed to arsenic. And so the only recommendation that we provide for people who are above 100 ppbs for arsenic in water, we just tell them not to water their garden vegetables with that water. In the second household, we found that the non-filtered water was over 70 times the recommended level. But people did not drink the water. We also collected filtered water, but people did not even drink that. They didn't like the taste of the water. They did use the non-filtered water to shower, but we collected in the four urine samples we collected, none of them was problematic, meaning higher than 35 ppbs. So we recommended for them not to water their garden vegetables and also to stop showering with that water. So that recommendation we make it when the water level is above 500 ppb. So that household was quite interesting because they had a point of entry reverse osmosis system, so they thought they were protected and that we would never find arsenic in their water. And it turned out that they were actually the most elevated house with a level about 114 times higher than the recommended level. And we collected 3 urine samples in that household, and it was clear that everybody was exposed to arsenic. They were drinking the water, showering with the water. And a one-year-old toddler also lived in that household. So we recommended that people stop drinking the water until they fix their reverse osmosis system. We asked that the toddler be tested for arsenic. We asked them to all be retested after they switch water source. And of course, we asked them to stop showering with the water and also to stop watering their garden vegetables. So 2 weeks later, the toddler and the mom were tested, and the mother urine level had decreased by twofold, and the toddler was fine. So for the toddler, it was a blood analysis, and it turned out he was not exposed. In that fourth household, the level was about 22 times the recommended level for water at 219 ppb. We collected 2 urine samples, and one person appeared to be exposed, and the other person appeared not to be exposed. But when we collected the urine samples, it was right after St. Patrick's Day, and one of the person was joking that the other person had been drinking beer for 2 days, and therefore they wouldn't be exposed, and sure enough, they were not. So we made the recommendation for them to stop drinking the water and stop watering their garden vegetables. And so for all of our households, we provided general recommendation, which is to test their private well annually for arsenic, but also other contaminants, because arsenic levels can vary seasonally in everywhere. And also in Alaska, we are subjected to quite a few earthquakes, and so that can also impact the quality of well water. And we also asked people to make sure that their treatment system was in good functioning order, because we thought that it was not the case for that household. So despite its limitation, we did accomplish quite a few things with this study. The first one is to identify 2 households where people were actually exposed to arsenic, and in one of these households there was a toddler who might have been exposed. So we were pretty happy to have found that out. And then we did quite a bit of education to the public. We educated them about the health effect of arsenic and how to prevent exposure and how to get their water tested. And our initiative was pretty well covered in the media and generated some buzz in the area. And people were definitely encouraged to test their well water. And this initiative was also spurred a collaboration with the University of Alaska in Fairbanks, who asked us to do a few more community meetings in the area on the same topic. And finally, we published an epidemiology bulletin who targets the public, but also medical providers. And so we hope that we managed to raise awareness about this issue in Alaska, and especially in the Fairbanks area. Thank you.